Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening here on Blog Talk Radio, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Welcome to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad. Greetings, assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. It is a great blessing to be on the air with you. This is December the 20th, 2012, and we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. That's blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. You can also call in and join us, and believe me, tonight's discussion will be powerful. I know I always say that, and it's always true. And, of course, we are going to deliver once again. Elevated Places is all wins, no losses on delivering brilliance, and we're going to win again tonight. But remember that you can call us at 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091, and you can join the discussion by calling that line. I am blessed to be joined tonight, as always, by our wonderful co-host and world traveler, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence. It's good to be with you again.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And, of course, we have some very important matters to discuss tonight. Shortly, Allah willing, we will be joined by author, publisher, cultural historian, artist, educational consultant, Anthony Browder. And most, if not all, of the callers are familiar with his work. This is a not-to-be-missed discussion with this brother. So, Allah willing, he will be joining us shortly. And later on in the show, we're going to talk about more in depth the tragic events that took place last Friday in a city called Newtown, Connecticut. I want to do a little bit of analytical study of that, and we want to go through the current article by Sister Charlene Muhammad that is in the Final Call newspaper. But in the interim, Brother Terrence Muhammad, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, you know, we're thankful to Allah that we're here to see another day. And as you said, later on in the show, we will discuss and analyze and do an analysis of the Newtown, Connecticut, which has been dominant, as we know, in the news, as well as the whole issue of gun control. But I know we'll be discussing that later. But the two things that are prevalent for me right now is relate to our nation, and it's not just a re-announcement, but we do know that our annual Savior's Day event is coming up, and people can go to NOI.org to learn more about Savior's Day in February, February 24th. And the reason why I say that is because everybody is out there talking about the end of the world is coming, you know, tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
But I bring that up is because the world as we know it is going out and is falling, and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has an economic blueprint for us, and he's trying to help galvanize us to, you know, raise $10 million for the savings they give to give back to us to get more land so we can build hospitals, we can have schools, we can have businesses, and we can have our own homes. And I say that because as I'm planning for the inauguration, Russell Simmons just announced his inaugural ball next year on the Sunday before the inauguration. And I looked at the tickets, and the tickets were from $500 to $2,500, meaning some people are not in a recession. But that money is not necessarily going to the establishment or helping people get out of the poverty and the conditions. And I know Russell Simmons' inauguration is that high. Do we know the presidential balls and everything else that others are having are just more extravagant? And I say that we need to be real mindful about Savior's Day and raising this money to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to continue to help the poor. And last on my notes for the nation will help, and I would like for you to help me with this. I want to remind everybody that if you are in the Baltimore, Maryland area, this Sunday, the keynote lecture will be given by our wonderful sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, this Sunday in Baltimore, Maryland. There's also a banquet that Saturday night, and she can give you more information, but at least give us the subject of your lecture for this coming Sunday for those that are in that, we call it the DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. Come on up to Baltimore, Maryland, 11 a.m. to the mosque in Baltimore, Maryland. So could you give us your title and lecture title for this Sunday?
Yes, sir. And I'm first of all want to say to Student Minister Carlos Muhammad, who is in his own right a profound member of that constellation of stars among our people who are legitimate historians. And to him and to the believers in Baltimore, I am so excited and honored that you have invited me there. They are actually finishing up on acquiring full ownership of their mosque. That's Muhammad Mosque number 6 in Baltimore. And so they are working hard to raise the final funds. And I'm glad you talked about everybody's not in a recession. But
right.
We can't seem to depend on those among us who have been blessed to be more financially secure. But it's amazing how those who are working hard to make ends meet tend to be very generous when it comes to investing in the future of black people. And anytime you invest in a mosque of the Nation of Islam, you're investing in the future of our independence. And so it gives me great pleasure to be part of that process with Mosque number 6. So I will be speaking on Sunday, this Sunday the 23rd, twice as a matter of fact, in the morning at the mosque and then in the evening at a dinner, so that again we can raise those funds even as we work toward the Savior's Day gift as well. And I think we'll be successful all around. And the title of my lecture is Near Freedom. N-E-A-R, near freedom, because we are near to freedom. I mean, you just talked about it, Brother Terrence. You know, a lot of these talking heads are making mockery of the Mayan calendar and saying, yeah, we're still here, ha, 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 and it's already the 21st in certain parts of the planet, and they're still here, and blah, 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 and they're really dealing with literal. Obviously, our great planet is not about to explode, but a mindset is about to explode, or I should say implode. And that mindset is the mindset of Dr. Yacoub, the scientist whose experiments led to the production of the European people and the concept of white supremacy. White supremacy has been the doctrine that has ruled this planet for the last, even though they've been on the planet for 6,000 years, it's actually been really 2,000 that actually they began spreading around the earth and really began to take over. And it was in the last millennium that we really fell under that mindset. And of course, Brother Anthony Browder is one of our great researchers and writers who is overcoming many of the myths and misconceptions that have come out of the doctrine of white supremacy, which really has saturated the planet. And so Near Freedom is the subject on Sunday, and I look forward, and hopefully the winter that's blowing through tonight in Chicago on its way east will have moved on and we'll be able to get in the city.
Right.
Yes, sir. So I'm really looking forward to that. And so while we await the arrival, Brother Terrence, of Brother Anthony Browder, I think perhaps let me share something from both scripture and then
I'll give you the number.
Some references from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that are applicable to tonight's topic. And also, we're pleased to be joined by our Elevated Places contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. He and I were just in a land acquisition meeting here in Chicago early today, and now he's back in Georgia. But he was very excited to hear that Brother Anthony Browder will be joining us tonight. So, Dr. Ridgely, are you back in Georgia?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Just landed.
Oh, bless your heart for coming on
yes,
and joining us. We're awaiting the arrival of Brother Anthony Browder on the Elevated Places guest line. And I was about to share Brother Bobby Muhammad, our Elevated Places researcher, has given us some great references for tonight. And I want to quote both the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said these words, "Of all our studies, history is the most attractive and best qualified to reward our research, as it develops the springs and motives of human actions and displays the consequences of circumstances which operate most powerfully on the destinies of human beings. The wise man is the one who has made a careful study of past events of ancient and modern history. The knowledge of the future is judged by the knowledge of the past." These are words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. From Minister Farrakhan, "The word that he was given," he being Elijah Muhammad, "the word that he was given was designed to accomplish the greatest mission in the history of the world, and that is a mission that is called in Bible and Holy Quran the resurrection of the dead. As impossible as it seems to go to a cemetery and call people long dead out of their graves, that is how difficult it is to raise the black men and women of America and the world from a mental death-like state, that we could become once again the prosperous, united, intelligent, civilized people that gave civilization to the world." And, of course, that is a key component of Brother Browder's work, is doing away with the myths and misconceptions and this idea that we're some sort of jungle bunnies, savages, but we are in reality the mother and father of civilization. And, of course, in the midst of all of the shootings and killings that are going on right here in Chicago, at the root of all that, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us, is a lack of knowledge of self. And so, you know, while we're waiting, I think we could go ahead and discuss, and then we can return to it. But, Dr. Ridgely, I was talking to Brother Terrence about, of course, this tragedy, and tragedy is really a misplaced term. It's not that it can't be used. It is tragic, but oftentimes when I hear the word tragedy, I think about accidents or I think about natural disasters. I don't think about a man unloading a Bushmaster automatic assault weapon into the faces and bodies of six-year-old children. So there is a there is an article in the Final Call written by Sister Charlene Muhammad where we do acknowledge, of course, the brutal killings. And I know I, as a mother, it's inconceivable to me that I could drop my child off at school at age 6 or 7 at an elementary school and get a call later to find out that my child has 11 bullets in their body.
Trying to ponder on the you know, as you say, the analysis and waiting to try to hear what maybe the minister may say about it. The interesting conversation that I've been, you know, just looking at Facebook and people's very, you know, different conversation and what they post and what they may say. One of the things that have been brought to attention, and two particular things that have been brought to the forefront are this whole issue of gun control and gun laws, and also mental health. And it's interesting that, as people have said, when the issue of white killings come up, the whole issue of mental health comes up. And as someone said before, is that they sanitize, I think Brother Abdul said, they sanitize his, you know, the images that of these people that have done this act, you know, go back in their childhood, or he was a choir person. This is not like them. But, of course, as a person of color, does anything of this nature, how they are looked upon, and how this issue of mental illness, you know, comes to play. So it's a lot of different things that are coming up. And even we talk about gun control, but we're looking at a country that has no problem using its weapons of mass destructions in other countries and all around the world. So, you know, these turn of events have raised the discussion in the community as it relates to this.
Well, yes, sir, that's exactly right. Brother Ridgely, I'm sorry.
Yes, you know, and we have a climate here in this country that came after the election where, you know, these people are getting all these weapons and, you know, and they're angry at the wrong people. We didn't take their country. You know, that's how they want to take our country back. It's the Obama family representing black people have taken their country. You know, they took this country from the Native Americans, and they brought us over here, and we have never shown any type of aggression against them. And even those events that they call a riot, especially in the 1800s and early 1900s, they weren't riots. They were massacres. They were people coming in our community. I know I wrote an article about 1906. We call it the Atlanta Riot in 1906. It was a riot.
Yes, sir.
It was 10,000 white people coming to our communities, killing,
right,
shooting, and hanging people at random. That's not a riot. That's a massacre.
That's right.
But our history, we're not even supposed to talk about it because that's going to reduce hate. But what's reducing hate? And these people, they're trying to kill some children that they don't know,
right,
some parents that they don't know. What is that? That's why it's so hard for us to understand it. we only do violence in response to something, and it's usually against the person who perpetrated the response, who perpetrated the cause. But just to go out and randomly just kill people, it's almost like, well, I don't like it on this planet, and I'm going to kick you off the planet. I'm going to make everybody miserable because I'm miserable.
Sure.
That's a terrible attitude to have. And we as black folks just don't even understand that type of attitude.
Well, you know, I'm glad you all are lifting that, because there are so many subtopics.
Yes.
And, of course, the issue of guns, which are, of course, prohibited in the Nation of Islam, that there
right.
really is no such thing as gun control. The only
right.
thing you can do with guns is eliminate them. And prior to 6,000 years ago, we didn't have this issue. But, you know, it's
right.
very interesting that, now, when we first heard of this situation, it was said, I remember on the news Friday when this first happened, they were saying on all the news outlets I heard, which were major outlets, that the mother of the killer, who died at his hands as well, that his mother was a teacher at Sandy Hook's elementary school. They started out with that. A day later, it was a part-time teacher. Then it went to a teacher's aide. Then it went to a volunteer. And then it went to, she's not in the database anywhere.
What?
Started out saying that he was a student at Sandy Hook's when he was in elementary school. Not so. Okay? Then what comes out is she is was an avid gun collector. All of these weapons belong to her, the assault weapon as well as the two handguns that he had, and the police said he had enough ammunition to kill everybody in the school. The only thing that stopped him is survivors said that when he heard the sirens, he put a handgun to his head. Took himself out. And that's another trait you usually find in these people is cowardice.
Right.
They don't want to deal with the consequences of
mm-hmm.
what they've done.
Right.
Then what comes out is, and you look at this little town and it's something out of a Norman Rockwell painting, and it's very peaceful. And you hear the typical, like Brother Terrence, like you say, there's always certain statements that are made about how quiet the person was. And then they always say, we're just shocked it happened here. We never believed this could happen here. You know, and that's coded for as opposed to the urban centers where black people live. But now we find out that the National Shooting Sports Foundation, which is a powerful lobbying group for gun retailers, guess where their national headquarters is?
Wow.
In Sandy, in Newtown, Connecticut, across the highway from Sandy Hook Elementary School.
Whoa.
And then you have a citizen of Newtown who owns a gun repair shop in the town. He says, quote, to the Chicago Tribune, you'd be surprised. These are regular people, and they have an arsenal in their basement.
What are they getting ready for?
And it's funny that you say that they have an arsenal in the basement, and I have an associate that I know that was very, you know, in my martial arts class, and nice guy, you know, married, you know, husband with a child, very, you know, he's a techie, has his own little computer company,
right.
And just very calm and very, you know, docile. He's nowhere aggressive, you know, he's taking martial, but he's just not aggressive even in his nature. You know, he'd be more like water instead of fire. But we went to his house and he had this room that he had made, and you go to a secret opening, and he had guns galore, and he just loved guns. And it just made, so in the turn of events of what's going on there, and as we see it, it makes me go back and look at this particular person, and it's like, it's nothing, you know, just to have, and just to have one. And like I said, the discussion brings up people talking about my family or these people that they know, they love to hunt, they love to have guns. And so it's very interesting that you said that that is right there. And that's a lot, a lot more homes to have.
It's like who they are. And it's just amazing that it took a week almost to get to that reality. And, you know, this whole thing with the mother, I mean, are you telling me in a town that small?
Come on.
How do you think somebody's a full-time teacher?
Come on.
Who is not there, has nothing to do with that school whatsoever. Because remember the psychologists were talking about, maybe he was angry at her.
Mm-hmm.
He hated her so much he wanted to destroy what she loved, which was her class. I mean, you just don't make mistakes like that. You know, you have a school superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
You have a city council. I mean, you have the sources of the actual facts right there. And and yet you come out, then it comes out today or yesterday in the New York Times or somewhere I read, this woman did not work. She was living in a 4,000 square foot home. Her husband he's in the tax business. And she was receiving alimony and child support to the tune of almost $300,000 a year. And so she had nothing but free time. And she spent a lot of it with her son out in the woods firing weapons. And one of the residents said in the Tribune article, that's something you hear all the time, shots being fired. And he said they find it comforting.
Right.
Comforting. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Ms. Ava, you can probably, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about the Red Sea, and he said that we'll be going through the Red Sea, and it's not water, but it's a sea of blood. As people begin to randomly, you know, go off and kill one another. So that's why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has warned us not to be in a bunch of crowded places, like, you know, ball games and, you know, big concerts. Because you never know when they're going to go off and experience for them, which is killing people and then killing themselves so they can go to a warrior heaven, I guess.
Yeah, it's amazing. And in the Final Call article, there's an interview that Sister Charlene does with Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson, and they're just he's speculating on possible triggers for the shooting, unaddressed emotional trauma on the part of the son. Now that you know we're getting news from the medical examiner. This man fired numerous shots into his mother's head while she slept from a .22 caliber. There definitely is something deep-seated that's radically wrong. And Dr. Johnson says to the Final Call that he may have been medicated and was off his meds. There's no way of knowing that right now. But there's definitely unresolved issues with his mother. And then he said there's yet another pathway that probably you're not going to see considered in the main media, which involves the CIA and the FBI. And I'm quoting from the article, the MK Ultra Mental Engineering Programs that the United States Army, along with the CIA, FBI, and intelligence departments have been conducting at least since the 1940s. This program is a military project that seeks to engineer people's minds so they can function as weapons, devoid of any type of human compassion, according to Dr. Johnson, a nationally certified school psychologist. He said, I think we should be asking, what type of psychological and psychiatric history does he have? Was he in the military? And what type of work was his mother involved in? Like I just told you all, she's living in this 4,000-square-foot home doing nothing. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but I did a little math. They said her husband is paying her $290K a year. They said he makes $8,000 a week. Now, that's serious bank, but $8,000 a week is what,
$32,000
a month? $32,000?
Yeah. Right.
Times 10 is $320,000. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then another couple of months. Is he giving her, I mean, that would mean he's a little bit over $300,000, right?
Right, right.
So what is he? He's giving her his entire salary?
Come on.
He's a tax man?
He's
remarried?
Right.
And his children are grown. They're talking about child support.
Right,
you got a
24-year-old? Right.
She's not getting no child support for the 24-year-old who's an accountant and lives in New Jersey. They're both over 18. So who's financing this woman? What was she doing? You know.
Well, you know. You know, we have the Minister of Foreign Times. You know, he talked at the Savior's Day. You know, about Apache. You know, someone being produced to take a fall, to do something, and it to be blamed on them. And so with that. It's called MK Ultra. That's what they're experimenting with.
Yeah, Ultra Mental Engineering. Yeah.
Right. To be able to make them do something and then to blame it on some other event or blame it on somebody else as 911. 911 was something that we know now was a false flag operation. So they have an excuse to go over into Iraq and Afghanistan to steal oil. So, you know, what are they up to now? Only time will tell, but it's a good thing we got a leader that will keep us out of trouble if we just listen and follow him.
That's such a good statement. And, you know, everything we talk about on the show, all paths lead to one solution, solution, which is to get away. I mean, that's what separate
that's
means. Right. Let me, I'm going over
that's
here.
Right.
Because
right.
What you all are doing, I can't wrap my mind around this. You know, here's a man, and another thing Dr. Johnson says is killing the 26 people, which goes to your point, Dr. Ridgely, and then we're going to go to the phones. Killing those 26 people could have been a cover-up to make him look insane for the killing of his mother. And see, look, there's a history here, which you just pointed out, 9/11. You know, these people are not beyond. They have a record of sacrificing innocence to achieve. In other words, whatever goal they're trying to achieve, something else occurs, and we're all focused. I'm always suspect. As a student of Minister Farrakhan, I'm always suspect of any news event that's not a natural disaster from Allah, but anything that happens that they manufacture that has the whole country riveted. You know, and then days later or months later, sometimes years later, you find out
right.
that some insidious thing was being done while we're all looking over here. You know, and so he says here, they could have made this could have been a cover-up for the killing of his mother if he was simply a sociopathic murderer. Why didn't he kill anybody else in that path? Killing the children did not make sense unless we're missing pieces of the puzzle. He, too, laments the deaths of the young victims and their educators, but argued there is a responsibility to explore the political roots of the shooting. Was it an intended diversion from the controversy of, as you all just brought up, President Obama's second term or the Israeli-Palestinian crisis?
Mm-hmm.
He questioned. And see, another thing that came up, it was said on a news outlet in Philadelphia, and one of the ministers told me about it. They said that he, the killer, was at the school the day before. He came over to the school and had what almost had an altercation with somebody. Now, what was that about? And if he went over there, and since if he has no connection to the school, because remember there was confusion. At first they said they let him in. They buzzed him in because there's no school in America now that you can just walk in without going through some kind of checkpoint. You know, either the door is locked or there's somebody posted at the door. And, of course, that has always been the modus operandi of the Nation of Islam because we know what we're dealing with. You are going to come past somebody. But anyway, they have locked doors at that school. They have a buzzer system. It was said that they buzzed him in because he was the son of a teacher. See, how can you get something that wrong? Well, it comes out that it was Thursday that they buzzed him in. And not because he was the child of a teacher, but he's a white male in the town, you know. So they let him in.
Right.
You know, Brother Terrence had rolled up there, or Brother Darius, or you.
Hey, call the police.
But he's a white boy. They let him in. And he had some kind of negative, adverse sort of situation. And this makes sense because that's why when he came back, he blasted his way in. He didn't come in a stealth manner.
Right.
He just blasted his way in there. He didn't talk to anybody. He came in shooting.
And it's getting deeper, and it's getting deeper as you're talking, because one of the things that when we mentioned about the whole issue of 9/11, what happened, nobody really wanted to hear that who they said did it did not do it because people had died. People were in hurt and shock and pain. So nobody would try to go over the with a fine tooth comb, look at all of those details that you just laid out, even the alimony, and how can he make this much and pay that much out. Who's going to look at that? Because they're not dealing with that right now. They're dealing with the whole issue of mental stability. How can somebody do this?
Right.
And think of their children. So 9/11 happened on the basis of a lie, but you're not trying to hear the lie because you're not thinking and you not remember what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You can't fathom the death of Satan. So
we
would not believe, as black people, as righteous as we are, we still love our oppressor and still been oppressed.
That is
so
true.
But we can't believe the devil could do what a devil does because we are the righteous. So we're not looking at the behind the scenes of 9/11.
No.
So now when you kill children, I can't hear no conspiracy. I can't hear nothing. What are y'all talking about?
Right.
Children, like,
right.
That's all we got to be concerned about, the families of them losing their children. The mother don't want to know about no conspiracy. She want to know, how do I get my baby? My baby's gone. So you
that's right. You're reeling from grief.
You're using sensitivity and the hurt and pain of a people to hide and shield your dirty religion and your dirty plan. As we understand, there's outcome to this as we later understand, once we will find out.
Right.
Well, let me just drop this on you, because something did happen during this period, and it goes back to, you know, Mr. Farr time at the Day of Atonement in Charlotte, you know, the week after when he did it in the Mas Mariam. Okay, on, you remember September 11th of this year, you had the Benghazi situation that is still, repercussions are still going on in terms of Boots and Rice. Well, on the 13th of September, the Federal Reserve, Bernanke, announced that they're going to put $40 billion on the streets per month in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that $40 billion is going to cause inflation.
Wow.
Now, he just announced a couple of days ago, on top of the $40 billion, and guess what, you know, it's not going to reach us. All things will reach us is a high price, but on top of the $40 billion, there's another $85 billion that they're going to the Federal Reserve is going to print and give out. So now you have $125 billion coming out every with no time frame. They will keep on doing it. So they're going to sink the American dollar. And so this is going on, so nobody is paying attention to that because of the situation with these deaths. And now American people are being set up for complete destruction of their economy through the Federal Reserve. And they
have mercy.
So, you know, it's a terrible thing what's happening, but we got to be careful because, like you said, these beasts use people and events to further their cause. And since now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is awakening up both black and white to the truth about this government, something has got to be done to shut the government, shut the people down from dealing with the words coming from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because he's the only person bold enough to stand in front of the world and tell the truth about what this government is doing and plans to do.
And, you know, I'm going to go to the phones, but they just released a poll where the American people, you know, the other thing is this fiscal cliff, which is which is totally not a cliff, and that's a manufactured term. But this whole battle over Obama ran on, he campaigned on his agenda, which was to make wealthy people contribute something to the American economy, because one of the reasons the economy is so depressed is these billionaires who are, as you taught on a few weeks ago, Dr. Rizzi, they're taking their money overseas and they're leaving. And
that's
he's saying this is one of, so when I, if you put me back in, I'm going to raise taxes on who? The wealthy.
The wealthy.
And so you got 1% of the population with somewhere in the neighborhood of 80% of the wealth don't want to give a dime back into the country that made them rich. And so you have that battle going on right now, and that's another thing that is diverting our attention.
That
you know, that we're focused on, and it's a manufactured issue, because this country is not going over, because if they don't do anything, all that will happen is the tax cuts imposed by George Bush under his administration, they'll just expire. And everybody will pay whatever tax rate they pay based on their income under Bill Clinton. That's all that will happen. How is that a cliff? But see, the cliff is what you just gave us.
That's right.
Dr. Rizzi. They're not telling us that.
That's right.
But that's
gonna
what's going to take
that's
us
right.
down.
And
but
anyway,
they
don't want to be hiding that. That's right.
All right, let's go to phones. We got a lot of callers waiting. Brother Hoyle is on with a comment. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Hoyle.
As-salamu alaykum, Sister Ava. That was deep. I
of what you said. I was talking to some believers today, and we were talking about all the scenarios. They were saying that the father of the both of the shooter in the mall, was it the mall,
yeah,
or the school, and this father of the latest shooter were tied into some kind of lawsuit. And I was hearing it.
Wow.
I was talking to a believer. He was a police officer here in Memphis. One of the officers got shot here. He was going to the funeral of a situation. But it's a y'all are so deep. But y'all were hitting right where I was going to tell you. I was like itching to get to the phone. It's
yes,
on the phone. It's called Press TV. Israeli squads tied to Newton carnage, and it was talking about the same thing. How this could have been a patsy, you know, mind control, and how they sacrifice children. I wish I had the article and read it to you. I read part of it, and they were talking about the situation in Norway where children were sacrificed, were shot up. And
oh, that's
it could
right.
Have been other, right. It's on Press TV Israeli. It's on WW Press TV Israeli squads tied to Newton carnage. And they talked about how there could have been other shooters. And this could have been maybe a hit where they, you know, I'm thinking in my mind that they killed the boy and probably just put his body there and used a soldier to do it, to sacrifice the children, you know. And we also got to look at prescription drugs. You know, most of these killers, if they say, so they say, like you said, mind control or antidepressants. There's so many
right.
scenarios to look at. But we all got to go to the root that we can't fathom the depths of Satan. And we just, you know, we're looking at all this stuff just pile up, and like I say, conspiracy theories. And you're in the nation, you are, everything is a conspiracy. I remember you saying this, Sister Ava.
Yeah,
but,
because
it's on this.
They use the phrase to dismiss analysis,
mm-hmm.
and really
mm-hmm.
a conspiracy only requires two people.
That's right.
That's all it requires.
And, they,
well, you know, the,
and this article also talks about a cover-up, a big major cover-up.
Yes,
well,
sir.
You know, the Federal Reserve, and this goes back to the bankers, you know,
mm-hmm.
they have a meeting every so often that is secret. Well, they determine what the interest rate is going to be and how much money they're going to put on the streets. And they even
mm-hmm.
keep the proceedings of it a secret to 5 years later. So I don't know what they discard. So this conspiracy secrecy of plans, this is how they run their world. This is how they run this country. When
right.
you see them out front talking at a press conference or in some type of hearing, you know that ain't what's going on. They're
no,
meeting someplace
not.
Else, and we'll meet somewhere else. Look what
that's
happened
exactly
to the conspiracy behind when President Obama was first elected, and the night
mm-hmm.
of his inauguration, they sit around Newt Gingrich and Paul Ryan and others, sit around at a dinner table and decided they conspired to make sure that everything he brought to the Congress, they're going to shut it down. But
that's
a conspiracy,
right.
and we got the record of that, and Newt Gingrich even admitted that to Al Sharpton. So, you know, they try to play these games with our minds, but that's all they do is conspire evil to do evil.
And also, we got to look at these people who start in these wars. Look at the babies that were killed by these drones. Look at the babies that were killed.
Right,
now,
yes.
Right? When Memphis Farrakhan pulled up.
Showed us,
all the
oh my God, yes.
Yes.
And you know,
and we're
someone, that's right, somebody mentioned that to me. Somebody said to me, one of my family members, they said, well, you know, they're killing people younger and younger. All that's left is babies. I said, no, it's not all that's left. They've already done that.
Right.
See, because we're, you know, you got the president standing up here in tears, and I was in tears. I've cried more than once since this happened. I mean, when you hear an obituary of anybody, even if it's a murder, you know, when you hear obituaries, you expect to hear, well, they worked at this place or they were married. You don't expect to hear their favorite subject was recess. Or they love tacos so much they wanted to be a taco director of a factory. That's how young these children were. You know, they hadn't even settled in to being alive.
Right.
You know, and they were so young that they still had that breathlessness and wonder. You know, of life and toward life. So you gotta be a devil.
Real.
I mean, there's just no getting around it.
Yes.
But thank you, brother. But, thank you, brother. Oh, go ahead.
If you had
another comment. I'm
like, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Walaikum salam. And we've got Seven Truth has been holding for a while. Let me get this mic open.
Salam alaikum.
Walaikum
salam. Oh my goodness. I talked to the person and I said I was going to stand down, but I just said I have to, because you all are hitting on so many points and it's just, it saddens me, it angers me, and just a whole list of emotions. I was informed earlier today that apparently the New York Stock Exchange was sold, and I'm not quite sure of who has the power to buy the New York Stock Exchange. What was it sold? I mean,
wow.
And then they want to get hold of Social Security and people's 401ks and use it as some type of monies to gamble in the New York Stock Exchange, and someone just bought it, meaning it's now, I guess, it's privatized. And they want to take folks' 401ks, their futures, in this so-called fiscal cliff deal. And this stuff is just getting absolutely filthy. And I understand truly why they keep us apart from their, not only their social affairs, but their business affairs. It's just off the meter of, it's just unfathomable. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad hit it on the nail when you can't even fathom the depths that a devil is even capable of.
That's
and
right.
The brother just let on that, yes, the shooter in Aurora, Colorado, and the one that just did this horrendous act in Connecticut, their fathers are linked in some type of trial that is exposing $1 trillion or more, or trillions of dollars or more, some type of business thing that just, and it's not just business, it's some type of conspiracy weapons thing or some massive thing that's going on. So it's not all coincidence. And I know that it said, well, what if the mother was in? Why does she need those type of guns? Well, she may have had an inkling to what was going to be going down with this trial, which would lead to, you know, not just one shot, because she might be revived. You know, the former Congresswoman Kathy Giffords, I think it was, Gabby Giffords, was, they brought her back.
She
survived the headshot. She didn't die. So they made sure, 4, 5, 6, or whatever, how many bullets he had to put into his mother, make sure that she's silenced.
And he shot her in bed. And
so
one of the things that it indicates to me is, you know, she was an expert gun person herself. See, this wasn't somebody, if she had been away, this wasn't somebody you run up on.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? He rolled up on her in the bed. He wasn't about to go face to face with her.
Well, you know that so she was killed at home. Home in bed. He killed her and then went to the school to kill the children.
Exactly. He that morning.
No, that don't sound right.
And that's what Dr. Johnson in the paper is saying. Where's the link here? And you know, usually killers like that, there is some sort of pathway.
Well,
it's it's but lately, like
yes.
you said, this aurora, these things that are taking place, they're not making sense.
Well,
and
you know,
I would like to. Oh, pardon, sir. I would also like to add on tomorrow on, if anyone has capabilities, on the Warren Valentine show, he's having Dick Gregory come back on.
Oh,
he's replaying
excellent.
The show. Dick Gregory dropped some megaton bombs today. I missed it. But he's mm-hmm. replaying the show from 11 a.m. I think that will be Eastern Time, Warren
mm-hmm.
Valentine. He's on Sirius Radio and whatever other station you could catch him on. Dick Gregory will be replayed tomorrow of the things that he dropped today. And it ties in to these things that we are that's being discussed this evening, along with a host of things that just will be absolutely mind-blowing.
Yes, sir.
But I want to say this before I go, and this will be my last point for the evening. I know the inauguration is coming up, and I think it's thankful that, yes, our brother did win re-election. But the only thing is, keep the camera on him. Not because he's Muhammad Ali and he moves quite kind of fast. Keep the wide lens camera on him because it's the need necessary to watch what is going on around this man. I still smell some type of setup somehow, some way, and don't just watch him or the inauguration or this next administration. Keep on everything. Open your eyes, people, if I could just say it. Just open your eyes and watch everything. It's not
yes,
a coincidence.
Sir. You got
and
that right.
With that, I hope to see everybody online this 2013 in Chicago at Savior's
right,
Day. And with
that's
that,
right.
assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much, Seven Truth. Okay.
I know we got another caller, but I want to add that our brother Dick Gregory should be here in Greensboro on the 23rd. I think it's a Wednesday for MLK. And I'm going to reach out to him to come on to the show that day afterwards or whenever we can, because Dick Gregory is one of the few remaining people that are in that caliber of black conscious
that's
speakers
right.
that actually
that's
tells
right.
the truth about
that's right.
And Dick Gregory also is a man that I forgot how much he spends, but he gathers newspapers from all around the country and reads them every day. And so he has, you know, he has that scoop international news and really delves into stuff and asks the profound, profound questions that people don't want to raise up. And he's not, you know, and I've seen him being at tables with high-polluting people and just tell it like it is. And so I want that brother to just call, if nothing else, if nobody else hears it, stay tuned and bring it back to us next week so we can know what that was, because he would help put another analysis from another shape as we're hearing a lot more as Dr. Rizzo just got excited. Because it doesn't make sense. You kill your mother at home, and then what's the reason for them going
right.
to school?
What is that
sense.
About?
And if we don't sit down, that's why the elevated place is so key, because we sit and we really analyze with our callers. And I have to say, you have to tweet this, Facebook it, and spread the words about elevated places, because what we're exposing and what we're getting out in the airwaves on this show, more and more people need to hear it so they can
that's
wake
right.
up to the truth and to the knowledge that we're exposing on the show.
Well, I'm about to go to Sister Michelle has a comment, and then Brother Amir and Dr. Salam, and we have other callers after that. But I want to say this in the wake of what you just brought about Dick Gregory, who has such a penetrating mind, and it would be a blessing to all of us to get his insight on here. But what Brother Seven Truth said about Obama, you know, you remember the Republicans warned each other openly that this was their last opportunity to regain any measure of control of this government. They said this election was a must win. They had to win this so they could they could take over the White House. They really needed the White House, the Senate, as well as the House of Representatives, because the country is changing in its makeup right before their eyes. Now, they had a poll come out today that said for the first time in decades, a majority of the American people believe that the Republican Party is too extreme. Okay? They are too far to the right. And it goes back to the comment that one of you all or the caller made. There's got to be control has got to be taken of this thing.
Right.
They tried to do it through the voting process, and it didn't work, even when they tried to suppress the vote. So we have to remember, I hope we don't think just because Barack Obama won the election, they're going to pick up their marbles and go home.
Well,
you know, and remember, all of a sudden now, they're talking about Hillary Clinton for 2016, and all of a sudden she passes out somewhere. You know, and has a concussion.
Yes, yes.
Because what's lining up now, they're really two sides of the same coin. But this white power structure is at war with itself. And there's no limit to what they'll do to each other. And it goes back to everybody saying what the messenger said. You can't fathom the depths of Satan. And we got to remember, they don't just kill us. They kill each other.
Oh, yes. And they're in the valley of decision as to whether they're going to work with this new majority that's coming in terms of the darker people in America, or whether they just go suicidal. I mean, they are, and you got people pulling. Pulling both directions with them, because they're really going through this head. Some of them just really cannot see living in a world where, like what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, that as long as you live with white people, you will live beneath white
under
people.
Them.
Because
that's
the way they got to have it. If they can't have it, like, you know, if I can't have you, and then nobody's going to have you.
Right.
If I can't have America, then nobody's going to have it. I'll just sink it.
Yeah, murder, what they call it, a murder-suicide. That's what they call it.
A murder-suicide.
Okay, we got Sister Michelle on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Michelle.
Alaikum salam. Please excuse my voice.
Yes, ma'am.
This program is so powerful. I'm from, I actually live in Hartford, Connecticut. I came to Connecticut around 1993-ish. Well, actually, I think 89. And Newtown was one of the first towns that my husband and I looked at.
Wow.
It's you know, definitely more rural than suburban, but it's sort of in between. There are definitely people of means. So, you know, while they're doing all this collecting on behalf of the families, trust me, those families are okay. But the thing that was interesting as I'm observing what's happening is that they're saying that the shooter, this Adam Lanza, and the shooter of the Aurora movie theater, both of their fathers were supposed to be testifying in this LIBOR scandal, which has something to do with UBS Bank and some type of scandal there, that, you know, that was coming to light at this time. So this is sort of a distraction away from that, and of course, who would make the tie-in? And it's interesting, and certainly not a coincidence that two young men who are sons of two men who are testifying in that particular scandal will be involved in this type of a massacre. Okay,
that's exactly
right. So you know, like you said, you know, they say conspiracy theory, so people turn around and then don't pay attention. But the other part that I wanted to bring to your attention was, I don't know if anyone heard the report when they said that there was someone else that they had arrested that was in camouflage clothing, And as they were taking him away, he was saying that he was not involved. But
I meant to bring that up, Earl. I
right.
did hear, going back to these contradictions and story changing,
right.
that is
right.
another thing that was said initially that went away, was that there were two shooters.
Right. Well, now they're saying that there were actually three shooters, and they said that they caught the two other ones, but nothing's being said in the media.
Yeah, they pulled back. They now he's
right.
he's a lone gunman now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yep.
ma'am. Well, we appreciate that insight.
Thank
yeah,
you so much.
And like you said, you're dealing with a very well-to-do
yes.
community.
But these are the communities of the bankers that run Wall Street and the
right.
The big firms out in Wall Street. That's where they all live in Connecticut. They don't live in Manhattan.
In the
they live in Connecticut.
No. Yeah, the husbands, a lot of times, they'll have an apartment in Manhattan for convenience. But their families, their main home is usually in Connecticut. And one of the comments made by the media was this: the mother of the killer, you know, that her home, it's in that kind of neighborhood. Bankers, attorneys, investment people. 90 minutes, and that's usually about the time distance, 90 minutes outside of New York City.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that,
well,
that
thank you, Sister Michelle, so much.
Yes, thank you, Sister
Appreciate
Michelle.
That insight. All right.
It was one of the big banks. I'll give you a little bit about this LIBOR thing. I'm not going to. I'm writing an article about it.
Okay.
One of the big banks, British banks, has been busted for laundering Mexican drug money. They were laundering to the tune of $2 billion over a four-year period. And it's not just them that's doing it. There's a LIBOR thing is trying to look where actually the I call it the dirty banks are laundering the money. You can't have drugs and illegal guns and drugs run without a bank that's going to take that money and launder that money. And so it's coming out now. Some of the people have made mistakes and they're beginning to catch some of them. And so now they want to take attention away from these billions and trillions of dollars that these international bankers are using and also flooding our communities, like Mr. Farrakhan said, with the drugs and the guns.
Yes.
So there's something bigger going on behind the scene that they want to keep shut up because they want this bloodbath. They want to start a race war. And we think a lot that we have the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that can bring truth to both sides and make everybody think before we go off and go crazy.
That's exactly right. I'm going to go back to the phones. We have Brother Amir with a comment. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places, Brother Amir.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava. Your guest, assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Father.
All right.
To you and your guests, I just wanted to add on to what the sister was saying about the two men that did the shooting and their father's relations. In the movie The Dark Knight Rises, this is the last Batman movie.
Oh, yes,
now,
sir.
We have to keep in mind that the first massacre was done during one of the premieres, the grand opening. Now, in the movie Dark Knight, one of the buildings was named Aurora. And it's not a coincidence that the killing was done in Aurora, Colorado. Now, later on in the movie, where they got the commissioner, they have a map laid out. And one of the cities that they have circled is Sandy Hook. Now, I say for all the listeners to go and watch that movie again. The last one they have circled, Sandy Hook. There is not a coincidence. Now, I listened to Dick Gregory this morning. Sister Ava, I've been with him. He dropped bombs. I mean, he probably needs security on him 24 hours of the type of bombs he said.
What did he say?
Well, one of the things that he was saying, he was touching on, is that all of these guns, these incidents with these guns, he said they're not really worried about taking the guns out of our hands. They want to take it out of the militia hands. The only way they can spark revolution in America is they take it out the militia hand, because the militias are the ones who are back in the NRA. And once you get out of the major city, the gun sales is higher outside of the urban cities in the rural areas than it is in than the regular city, but they wanted to get it out of the militia's hands. Now he was going into a couple of the stuff we wrote down what he was going into. He's like, according to the official story, Al Lanza was wearing a black outfit with a mask and a bulletproof vest. But why would he hide his identity if he knew he was going to kill himself, plan to kill himself? Why would he wear
that's an excellent point
and hide his identity? Then he said the medical examiner asserted that all wounds were caused by a rifle or other long weapon. And police and FBI say that the school was littered with .223 rounds, casings, which are rifle casings. But Adam Lanza was found dead in the school with only handguns. A rifle was found in the trunk of his car. But then who could not possibly have been firing the rifle? It could not have been him with those murders. I took a lot of notes, and I wish I probably can copy and paste it on your page. But this was like more so like a like 9/11, like it was a human sacrifice. You know, he touched up on Neo's passport on Matrix. It expired 9/11/01. But and he said, I mean, it's heavy. I really would like for everybody to hear this. And I pray to Allah that you can get him on his show, because for some reason he see a lot of stuff that a lot of people don't see, and he know how to gather the pieces together. And I just wanted to, if I could just leave with this last little piece. It says that what happened to the woodsman in the black jacket and the camouflage pants who was arrested and handcuffed outside the school? He actually shot at his parents. It wasn't me. Who was he, and why wasn't he? Or what was he doing there? What happened to the dark van or SUV that the police surrounded in the parking lot, or the maroon sedan with the blown-out back window that they were looking out for? There's a lot of unanswered things. First, they said he went to school and killed his mother. Then they flipped it and said that then he went home and killed his father. Then they flipped it and said that he shot his mother in the bed while she was
in the bed. Right.
Then if his mother is a kindergarten teacher, but she getting $300,000-plus, from a husband, what woman getting $300,000 would still be a kindergarten teacher? And then he said he said there's a lot of children there. He said children are the hardest targets to hit. He said amongst all those adults, he hit children. Well, children are the hardest target to hit because they squirmy and it's just a small target.
Right.
A lot of this is coming to it's being opened up right now. Now this guy named Alex Jones. I believe he's a little bit of a provocateur, but, you know, even in falsehood, that may be a little true. There's a lot of things that he's dropping that's making a lot of sense, too. And His name is Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. InfoWars.
InfoWars.com. Alex Jones. Brothers, if y'all can pass it on. He really don't like our president, but he don't like no president, put it like that. But they're dropping some bombs, and I just recommend that, you know, between him and Dick Gregory and your show, I mean, we can really raise awareness, because this right here is something. This is a sacrificial thing of what they're doing right now, and there's something behind it, and we gotta find it.
Yes, sir. Well, Walaikum Salam. Thank you, Brother Amir. Whew. That's an excellent point he said from Brother that. What is up with all the black and the mask and all that?
Right.
When there's no, that's for somebody that doesn't want to be identified.
Right.
Right.
Right. Somebody's trying to steal something. Somebody going to kill people and kill himself too. It's definitely he was trying to get away. So yeah, and the question, of course, we never know is what type of bullets killed him.
Right, and that's the question.
Yeah, and again, you know, even what we're getting, we don't necessarily know.
We don't know
what's true and what isn't, and we're blessed to have a Dick Gregory, and most blessed to have Minister Farrakhan, because we would just be fish in a barrel. You know, you have to be enlightened from a knowledge above this whole paradigm. In order to have any insight whatsoever. And as he's saying, you know, I just have in my mind about these little babies, it's almost like now that I've heard from Sister Michelle and the other brother about the connection between the two sons.
Yes.
and the father, and then, of course, as I read earlier and it's been repeated, about mom just living the good life with no identifiable source of income. And I just don't know too many people that are required by the court to give their entire income in alimony, but you have to wonder about people being paid off, people working for the government, and then statements being made. See, killing babies is like a punitive measure as well. Like somebody saying, this is what happens when you mess with me.
Mm. Well, you know,
if you think I'm playing, you know what I'm saying? Because this goes beyond the pale.
But when in those movies where they talk about the, devil worship, they always sacrifice a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
They always sacrifice a baby.
Yes,
so, you know,
right. And that's what I'm saying. When you get down
people,
to this level, you're dealing with Satan straight up.
That's it. Right.
Because even the mafia, even in criminal, you know, famous scenes in Scarface is
right.
when they sent him to New York to assassinate that man, and they waited for him to come out the house, and the day of the killing, he comes out with his family, and Al Pacino said, I'm not killing no woman and no little children, man.
That's right. That's right.
I didn't sign up for that, basically. He said, I don't need that in my life. I'm not killing no little kids, man. See, even the most hardcore killer.
Right.
You know, and Al Pacino was a straight-up hitman and cocaine dealer. He wasn't no softy.
Right.
But if you have any humanity in you, you know, whatsoever, that's where you draw the line, is that women and children, and that's all that were killed, women and children.
And children. Terrible.
You know, so this is just.
Well, you know, even the mafia, you know, they would kill one of their heads, but they'd also take care of the family. You know,
and
they
look
kill
at
one,
that.
One,
look at that. It actually provide. Provide for the family.
Right. So you know, this we dealing with something here. And you know, their minds, I guess I went to school with them. That's why I can kind of get into their head a little bit. You know, I did go to school with them, a prep school up there in New Hampshire with all the rich white boys. So I kind of like can get in their head a little bit. So I guess that's why you see I'm always going with these quote-unquote, how to really figure all this out. Look, I know them devils. Trust me.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, I want to say to the audience, we've extended, this is a special edition of Elevated Places. And Allah willing, we will have, I guess we had a communication problem with Brother Anthony Browder, and hopefully we'll have him next week. But in the meantime, we've got a lot of people that want to weigh in on this subject of the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. And so we've extended the program another 30 minutes so that we can get more calls in. And right now we're going to go to Dr. Salam, who always brings such beautiful insight. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Dr. Salam.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely, and strong soldier, Dr. Terrence.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You know, I want to start with a comparison. Adam Lanza, did you all take a good look at his face and his eyes? Like they were frozen in time.
Yeah, he looked like the Aurora killer.
If you were to put him and the Aurora guy, if you were to dye Adam's hair red, they
Come
would
on,
be
ooh.
Identical twins.
Teach.
Ooh.
I
now,
saw
they
that.
Were. Now, they profiled. I have studied human behavior and profiling, and Adam Lanza was said to have Asperger syndrome.
Right.
And he had to take a large large number of meds per day. Mm. Now, it's something really spiritual and timely about what really happened. I see Adam Lanza as what I would call a spiritual savior sadist. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you why I say that. Adam was 20 years old. He killed 20 children. And he killed 6, which is his natural number. And he stopped. And when he heard sirens, he put his gun away. The question is, why did he stop killing? He killed exactly the number of his age plus the number that Yaqub received as one of the first sixes. This is something that I have looked at and profiled. This is not an accident. And he killed his mother, and there would be no more children coming from her womb. I believe he felt that he was saving the children that he killed by taking their lives. Now, if we know the time through the God, through his messenger, and to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, surely Satan knows his time. But there is something that I've watched across the United States. The first thing these officers said is that he was strange. Everybody has carried backpacks. He carried a briefcase. He was not friendly. He didn't communicate with anybody. He had no friends. But he killed first what he hated for producing him, which is his mother, and he felt like he was saving those children. This is what I believe. But there's something going on in America that many of us are missing. The first thing they said, that we want this school and we're going to start them in another school. Satan is taking over schools all over America. And you have to ask yourself why. And I have looked at this. I have contacted people. Right here in Memphis, we're getting ready to lose 18 schools that is the root of our black community. When you shut down the school, you kill the community. Right. And what is really unique about a school is a safe haven for terrorism. Let me tell you why. It has water. It has fountains of water. It has a cafeteria. It has refrigerators.
Yeah.
It has basements. Ooh. It has everything that you need to survive forever. And they're taking over these schools all over America because they know something is getting ready to happen. And I go back to what I mentioned on a call when I called in the night that President Obama won the election. I go back to what Bob Schieffer said. He said, where are the old white men? He said, we are in trouble. Now,
that's right.
If they're in trouble, what kind of trouble could they be in if they are ruling?
Right.
They know their time is up.
That's right.
We know their time is up. And separation could mean not us leaving and going no damn where, but staying right here where we are and own all of this. But we got to watch these schools, because when they take over schools and release these gases, they will be the only survivors. Thank you for letting me share these words.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you for sharing those words. We have an awesome audience on Elevated Places. And
right.
You know what he just made me recall, which I had forgot, because I'm telling you, this event has more conflicting evidence than I've seen come out so fast. And I guess because of technology, and the internet and the news cycles, but he just made me remember something else. And I'm seeing all this stuff on mainstream media. They had on, it was either MSNBC or I heard on the radio, the mother belonged to a group that called themselves preppers. A prepper is a term that means you are preparing for the end of the world. And what prompted me to read, what Dr. Salam said, that boy thought he was saving those children. Someone made the comment that, you know, she took him out in the woods all the time to fire weapons and took him to firing ranges. And someone that knew them, and not too many people knew them, but somebody that knew them said the only relationship she had with her son was when they fired weapons together. He wouldn't even talk to her. And she told somebody that's why she took him out to shoot, because that's the only time he would even speak to her. And he lived in two rooms in the house, and he stayed in those rooms. And he loved those video games. And, you know, there's a lot of those games like Black Ops, and you know, where you play the role of the military and you're looking for Osama bin Laden or whoever, and this
right.
whole shoot to kill, you're always going for the headshot. But somebody made that comment that this end of the world idea, see,
tomorrow, by the way,
You know,
it's going to be tomorrow, by the way.
It's just, all of this is very fascinating because, yeah, you got the Mayan calendar, but
right.
you have, in accord with that, has opened up the show talking about how a lot of these talking heads are making mockery of the Mayan calendar, but many of these white people in these rural areas,
right.
they subscribe to that, and their belief is that the end of the world is coming, and it is. It's the end of white supremacy. They're right.
right.
They're saying,
they're right.
You know, you got a black man, when in their term, a nigger, in the White House. You have killed America. you have destroyed our world. You put a nigger in there. Oh, my God. You know, Latinos are reaching, a Latino turns 18 every 40 seconds.
Right.
You know, and what Dr. Salam just brought up again about Bob Schiffer saying, where's the old white men? They're dying out. But she was what is called a prepper, preparing for the end of the world. And they're saying in this article in the Tribune, this is where the Colt 45 was born. Connecticut. It says America's most storied weapons manufacturers, the Colt and the Winchester, are all based in Connecticut. Some historians say the West was won in the East, in Hartford, Connecticut, the birthplace of the Colt 45, favored by lawmen and outlaws alike in the 1830s. And it says this place, Newtown, as small as it is, it says here dozens of gun dealers, gun instructors, gun repair shops, shooting ranges do brisk business in Newtown. Private hunting clubs are widespread. There are waiting lists for membership. So let me let me go back. But go ahead, and then we'll go back to the line. I think.
No, I was going
to
say, you know, black folks got to understand, if white folks, you know, they can't win fast, then they'll put themselves in a test tube. They'll put the sperm and the eggs in a test tube put it on the ground and kill everybody and then hope and have time for them egg and the sperm to get together and try to start themselves over on this planet with nobody else here. You know, they'll do something like that.
That's right.
And to Dr. Salam's point, and you're right, in Chicago, in the same Tribune today, school officials deny closing list. You know, they're closing public schools in Chicago like you would not believe. They are shutting them down. And as Brother said, when you close a school, you have killed that community. Because what makes a neighborhood stable, and I always teach this with family, what makes a neighborhood stable are families, married couples with children, because they have a vested interest in a community being safe and stable. You know, and so when you take a school away, why would I move there with my children if there's no school there? Decent people and people of means choose their homes based on what? What is the school district?
That's right.
The first thing they said on the news about this place, people moved to Sandy Hooks because of its legendary school system. And they are closing schools in Chicago, and our children are just standing in the street, selling drugs, dealing drugs, getting arrested, and going into the prison industrial complex.
Well, we have just got, those of us who know, have got to grow up and take charge of ourselves and our communities and the programs that Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is putting out for us, because we're going to have to build a future for our future, because these people do not intend to have a future.
They don't want us to have a future. That's right.
So we got to take, we got to grow up now. There's an advantage of being children of Israel, but we got to grow up now to become grown folks and take care of business.
That's right.
Right.
We got Sister Peggy on the line. She's got a comment.
Okay.
Sister Peggy?
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Dr.
Ava. Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for coming on the Elevated Places.
Brother Dr. Ridgely and assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence. I would just like to say that what happened in Connecticut was just white-on-white crime. And that's all I'm going to say to that. And that was just such a wicked thing to do. And I also believe, do you ever listen to Asia TV or watch Asia TV, CCTV?
No, ma'am.
Oh, yeah, well, here
Asia
in San Antonio,
TV.
Asia, yeah.
Okay.
In San Antonio, it's on, you reach it by going to 3508 on AT&T, and I don't know what you do any place else, but it's in the 3000s. But anyway, there was, on the same day that this happened in Connecticut, something similar happened in central China, where a man went into a school with brandishing a knife, and he injured 23. And there was two Chinese businessmen, and they were talking about these incidents. And they really attributed the one in China to this guy being insane and not understanding about 12, 20, 21. Now, from their perspective, you know, Asians don't brook like insanity very well. They see it differently. They talked about him as though he was silly. So they talked about that, and having to do with 1221, and then they talked at length about the 37 million people that have guns in America. And I remember one guy. Actually, he was the host of the show, and he said that gun ownership is one of the most ridiculous aspects of American culture. And the other two guys that were talking to him apparently were businessmen, Chinese businessmen, because they spoke very good English, and they had lived in America before. And they just really said it's gotten to the point now where there probably is nothing you can do about all those guns. It's just almost out of control. But anyway, you can see their perspective on what's happening in America. And Asia TV is, they have news from throughout Asia, the so-called Middle East, Africa, the Pacific Islands, just all over, and it gives you a different perspective. But I thought it was very fascinating to see Chinese people around the table about America the way they talk about everybody else.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, it was really
fascinating. And shaking their head.
Just shaking their head. But,
and
you know, not denying.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's interesting. Israel, someone brought up the fact that this whole issue of you can't do anything about the guns, and this NRA is supposed to have a press conference tomorrow morning. But as violent as Israel is toward everybody, now in Israel and several other countries, you know, it's the complete opposite of the way it is in America. You cannot have a gun. First of all, you go through this extreme, thorough vetting process, but you have to show you have a need for it.
Mm-hmm.
What is the need for it? And in no case is anybody able to explain why in a civilized society. And we opened up the show quoting Minister Farrakhan on being civilized. What is the need for an assault weapon? Why do you need a clip in a gun that will mow down 30 people?
Because
and
if
you're hunting animals, one of the U.S. senators who's a hunter said you wouldn't want to put that many bullets in an animal because it would render it useless.
Right. Right.
You know, why would you want to shoot a living thing? They said some of these children had 11 bullets in them.
I
you know, there's not even enough room in the body of a six-year-old.
Yes, yes.
To put
right.
that much bullets, that means they tore these children apart.
Yes. Well, you have, you know, these people are sociopaths. Now, you know, our
right.
teachers talk about it.
That's true.
And now Mr. Farrakhan said now they're actually being exposed and for all to see. And, you know, their intent is to, he said, is they're going down, they want to take as many of us with them.
Bottom line.
They're going down, and they want to take as many of us with
right.
them. But we are not going that way. If we follow Minister Farrakhan, we don't have to go that way. This is why, you know, we will be separated. You know, that we've been pushed to the point that everybody is going to come to the same agreement,
right.
that we need to do something for ourselves. We need to control our own communities. We need to teach our own children. We need to feed our own selves because we ain't gotten to the poisons they're putting out in the food. You know, Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even talking about that yet. So this is a death, a society of death run by merchants of death.
Exactly.
Okay? And I remember that Mr. Farrakhan said that, but we've been given an anecdote. That's Farad Muhammad giving us an anecdote for this death, a culture of death, but we have to follow the anecdote. A doctor gives you the medicine, but you got to take it.
Yes.
So now I think we
right.
should see enough now. We have to take this medicine that Abi Elijah Muhammad gave us and Mr. Farrakhan has given us so that we can save ourselves and our future.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Sister Peggy, for your insight. Appreciate it.
May I please say one more thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay, the Chinese were talking about us, and they were trying to determine what was going on with this family, too. And one businessman said one parent had one brother, and the other parent had the other brother. And the brother that was with the father claims not to have talked to his brother for 10 whole years.
Mm.
So there was a lot going on. But anyway, I thank you for allowing me to give my comments, and
yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum and peace to everyone.
Yes, ma'am. Peace be unto you. Yeah, this is getting more bizarre every
right.
second. Let me go to Sister Barbara. She's been on a long, long time. Sister Barbara, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very
Assalamu
much.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam to everyone.
Yes,
I just want to say, make a statement that we have to remember that Nimrod, not Jesus, is the reason for the season.
Mm.
And the children was offered as a gift to Sodom, also called by the name Moloch, on the solar. And the children were roasted alive in the lap of the metal idol. Now, Moloch is another name for Nimrod. And so we can't take that out of the picture. Also, the word Santa and Satan shares the same letters. You, it depends
right.
on you take the A
placement.
And C. And also, they highlighted on in the news about they found this young child, girl, and her brother who had been sacrificed over in this South America, I forgot how many thousands of years ago. And we also know and have heard that it's a certain religion that believes in sacrificing of children before their holiday, and their holiday is here. And so I believe that these children are part of a sacrifice for whatever reason, the people who are know why they're making these sacrifices, and because the children is the future. And we also know the Bible speaks also of these people using or offering children in sacrifice. So we have to remember
yes,
that
ma'am.
The Romans was very, the Romans were pagan people, and this is a pagan holiday. So I think this pagan, this is some kind of anniversary or certain kind of important time in the pagan history. And that's why these things are taking place. And this is what my thoughts on this subject that you're discussing. Thank
yes,
you.
Ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you for your insight and your analysis. And I want to go to Brother Lewis because we're back to running out of time. We could do this probably for another 2 hours. Because it's yielding more and more information as the callers come in and show us the facets of this thing. Brother Lewis?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And assalamu alaikum to the brothers that's on the panel. Sister Ava, I love your show, but I just have
Thank
a comment. Everything that you and the brothers have discussed this evening so eloquently, it just bears witness to the teachings of the messenger and the fall of America.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And we as so-called American Negroes, we have to embrace, we have to get into we have to absorb the teachings of Messenger Elijah Muhammad. That's the only refuge. The Holy Quran says that we have to find refuge in Allah and His Messenger, and that's what we have to do. And if you would allow me, I would just like to read just a little small bit from chapter 60 of The Fall of America, because it bears witness to what's going on right at this moment with these shootings and all of that.
Yes.
Okay. This chapter is entitled, when ye shall see all things. It says, Jesus prophesied that when we see the fulfillment of the prophecy of this time, that we should know by such acts of the people, strange actions that we have never witnessed before, carried on by the people, know that it, the end, is near, even at the doors. The Bible prophesies in Daniel and Matthew, saying that this is a time that man has never, ever seen before, and man will never see such time again after this time. Strange happenings. The prophecies of Jesus said that parents will be against children and children will be against parents. Do you not see these things being fulfilled today right in our eyes? Not only are parents against children and children against parents, but parents are murdering their children and children are murdering their parents. Now, if that doesn't prove to you that the teachings of Messenger Elijah Muhammad are right and exact, then something's wrong with you. When we have these devils in person going crazy, losing their mind, like Dr. Ridgely said, they're dying, their world is over with, so they want to take us with them. It's imperative that not only Muslims and believers in the messenger follow this program, and all black people. And that's just all I have to say. And I love your show, Sister Ava. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
And we love you and love the listeners and the believers that are calling in. That reading was absolutely the precision.
Off the chain.
That was beautiful.
Off the chain.
Parents
and not only
killing
was
children.
Not only was it precise, but, you know, and not to do a quote-unquote shameless plug, but, again, you will be speaking in Baltimore at Mosque Number 6 on Sunday. And, again, your title is Near Freedom. And I bring that back up with the type near freedom, because what the brother just read, it's like we are near freedom. And even the people that are mocking the end of the world, we are near freedom because we are witnessing, you know, the days of Allah and the time of Allah and the end of this world, because we're seeing wars and rumors of wars, and we're seeing child against parent, parent against child. So these are the increasing signs of Allah being manifested, and we are on the topic separation, which we have not, and, you know, we say the minister is divinely guided, but the minister is only divinely guided because he submits to Allah. So those that follow his guidance and submit to him will be on that same path. So by you submitting to the Abba, you stayed on the course of separation. Why? Because the signs of the times keep going. Even while we talk about separation, we see the reasons that are going on around us for the necessity for separation. So what the brother just read, you know, it just, we are near freedom. Because the time that we are witnessing that we will never see again, that is the rule of Satan. And we're leaving that world, and we are really literally entering into a new world, as the minister calls it, the kingdom of God.
Oh, this is giving me chills in a good way. Wow.
That's right.
We got time. We got to take Brother Aaron, because he's really been holding for a long time. He's calling from Chicago too. Brother Aaron, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for taking my call, and I have dropped off the phone and also came back on again. I just want to say, before I forget, Sister Ava, I was able to ask a question when you gave the live presentation for Elevated Places at Savior's Day, so I do hope that you're in the workings of doing something like that again for this year's Savior's Day.
The A-team is on it, yes.
That's beautiful. I want to say real quick that it just seems like only Minister Farrakhan and the scholars that are under his leadership are the ones who are connecting the economic issues in America with the deterioration of the social issues. And I just wanted to thank you for that, because I got on the call late, and Dr. Wrigley was speaking of the international bankers. And one of my favorite lectures from Minister Farrakhan is The Conspiracy of the International Bankers.
Yes.
And the subtitle of that lecture that he did is called The Takeover of America. And I just hope that I heard Dr. Wrigley saying he's going to do some writings, and I hope that you continue to speak on this, because this subject, connecting the economic and social issues, if we go back to 1994 and 1995, this is the subject that Minister Farrakhan used to tour the country to galvanize our people for the Millions Man March. This, The Conspiracy of the International Bankers, was in April of 1995, and if you listen to those months before the Millions Man March, this is a topic that he used to get people woken up.
Mm.
And in just 20 seconds, I just want to read, he's in that lecture, he said, "America, as we speak, is in deep trouble. She's burdened with tremendous debt, and as in any family, when a husband and wife are burdened with debt, that kind of stress begins to undermine the internal workings of the house. If that is so as individuals, it is equally so with a nation." And the minister began to describe that white people are beginning to see that their country is being taken from them, as described by President Obama winning the election, and he still can't get his agenda through, so the election does not matter. So the minister described how the international bankers have taken over and hijacked the government through the manipulation of money, war, and power. So I will hopefully you guys can continue to speak on that subject, and I just appreciate it. It's always inspiring, and I hope that you can start getting some advertisers and sponsors for your show to take it to the next level, Sister Ava.
Well, you're reading our minds.
Great.
That's what we're working on. But it's callers like you that are the reason why the show is growing. Because when I talk to people, what everybody loves most about the show is the subject matter and the opportunity for a forum. And we get introduced to each other's brilliant minds and
right.
and our faith. And we need that in this hour. You need to know that there are other people that think like you think and believe like you believe. That's important to have. But thank you so much, Brother Aaron.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Brother Aaron. And, you know, we're going to, the most frightening thing, if you remember about Jesus, the reason the people, the Jews at that time were frightened of Jesus because if they didn't stop him, he was going to draw all men into him.
Exactly.
And white people have accepted the fact that Farrakhan is our leader, but now we're beginning to find out that there are a lot of people, white people, who follow Farrakhan. They're picking up on Farrakhan. They said, well, you know, some days I don't like you, you know, but some days he's saying it's true. I mean, I even read a blog, the guy said, I wish there was some white person who would teach us what Farrakhan is teaching.
Oh,
wow.
You know, they wish there was a white person who could teach us the way Farrakhan is teaching. So, you know, it's mm-hmm. like they're on the cliff in their own minds as to who they want to follow. So this is our man, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is causing cataclysms inside of white people's minds right now, but they're making a choice. Which one will they choose? Will they choose white
yes,
or will they choose?
Yeah. Because it starts with the black man and woman. It doesn't end, as somebody brought up earlier, it doesn't end with us. It begins with us, and the door is open for anyone that wants to submit, because that Allah is not looking for a color. He's not looking for a gender.
Right.
He is
right.
interested in one thing, complete submission to his will.
That's
because
right.
we
that's
certainly
right.
have our history of rebellion. And God knows nobody is taking out more people than us. If you look at our
right.
history, you know, it was a brother, a black man, that blew away a third of the planet.
Come on, come on.
You know
on.
How many people
come
he
on.
Killed?
Come on, come on.
And actually knocked this planet off of its axis, off of its, out of its orbit. Our weather has never been the same.
That's your boss. Well, that's your boss.
Yes, the first one.
The first one.
Right. But I just want to say this because we're getting ready to close out. The other point I wanted to bring out of this article, you know, the callers have got my brain cells are just exploding. But I'm my mind is racing with this idea of vindictiveness and who's going to show who and this war that's going on within the white power structure. But you know, one of you all talked earlier about them moving out there. I think it was you, Dr. Rizzi, about these bankers.
Right.
And you ever see those Stepford Wife?
Yes.
Okay. Because the other thing going on here now, you have two cultures in Newtown. You have the white folks that have been there forever. Okay, in white in the white reality, they've been there forever, and that's the gun people.
Right.
Okay, but then you have this new nouveau rich group that you're talking about, Dr. Rizzi, the bankers, the people that make billions on laptops and all of that, moving out there. Now, one of the things the article says here is it says. Is quoting a resident, and he says, over the past 10 years or so, the town's rustic character changed with the arrival of upscale families that see guns as a nuisance, if not a threat. Quote from the resident, there are people that have had our families here for generations. We love this town for what it is and what it was. And we want to preserve that bucolic rural setting, said Andy Sachs, a real estate agent. But then there's a new guard moving in the past 15 years. They want more growth opportunity, commercial opportunities, and more suburban living, and that is a struggle. And it says here, pardon me, one sign of the divide was a sharp debate this fall over the commission's proposals to curtail hours for target shooting and require police approval for shooting on private property because of a growing number of noise complaints. Dozens of members of the Fairfield County Fish and Game Protective Association, which is a 300-acre private hunting club, showed up at the town meeting to defend gun rights. The police commission bowed to the outcry and shelved the proposal. At issue here, the real estate agent says, at issue here is this, it's an issue anywhere you have people moving in from big cities into a rural area, and they have a hard time dealing with what goes on here, and they want to make all these changes. We have to educate these people about what we do and why we do it. They should have no fears about our how our activities are going to impact them. You can change this gun law and that gun law, and it's not going to change things like that school shooting from happening.
Wow.
So you have a clash
going on
there.
A clash of cultures within their culture.
Exactly. And as was brought up earlier, I think it was Sister Peggy, when she's talking about the Chinese businessmen and the fact that you can't control guns in America. There is no such thing. You got a Second Amendment to the Constitution,
right?
But that amendment was passed in the 18th century.
Yes.
When you had muskets that you had to, it took you a half hour to reload. You know, and that was a saying that a private citizen, that was really to protect private citizens from invasion and dominance by government, that you had a right to protect what was yours. That is a very different time than now with the technology and the destruction that these weapons are capable of.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, they call assault. Assault means that you're taking it, you being an aggressor. They're not called defense weapons, they call assault. Why do you need an assault weapon unless you're going to assault somebody?
Exactly. It's for a predator.
It's for a predator.
But, you know, we as we close down, because we're down to about 2 minutes, I just want to repeat and reiterate what you all are saying, and that is it's all about complying with the guidance we have been given.
That's right.
As Brother Terrence said, the reason Minister Farrakhan is, we say he's divinely guided, but he couldn't be divinely guided if he wasn't in submission to the guidance
that
he's receiving. Because we're never lacking direction from Allah. The only thing we lack is the willingness to follow that direction.
Please.
So what we are seeing, as Brother Lewis read from Fall of America, is the predictive power that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, writing in the 1960s and 70s, would only be able to provide if he was in touch with the best knower.
That's right.
And so now we're looking at something, as you all are saying, we're looking at something never seen before, and
that's right,
by Allah's grace, never will be seen again. But we just need to get about submission to what we have been given and overcoming our little petty differences. We've
That's
got
right.
to be in unity, and we can't let petty differences make us turn away from each other as brothers and sisters, because we are the chosen of God. And as Dr. Rizzia said, we're the children of Israel, but we've got to start evolving into the adult children of Israel and begin to move out on this beautiful message. But I want to thank my wonderful, brilliant co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our Elevated Places contributor. It just wouldn't be the same without him, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Of course, Sister Rona Muhammad, our producer, our technical director, Sister LaDonna Muhammad, and our researcher who never fails us, Brother Bobby Muhammad. And inshallah, we'll be back next Thursday, and we will bring more insight. This is always a show that's going to make you walk away not only knowing more, but feeling better and feeling empowered by what you know. So may Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding. As I leave you in peace, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.